This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, MANWEB's weekly SME show highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. In this week's edition of the pod, we turn our attention to the quiet quitting phenomenon and its impact on productivity for businesses. Listen, we are approaching the halfway mark of the year, so mid-year burnout and fatigue could be setting in for most people, resulting in them maybe neglecting their work responsibilities or not approaching their roles with as much enthusiasm. So the question becomes, how does the employer identify and fix this problem before it has a major impact on the business's productivity? I am joined by Renee Richter, the Managing Director of REM Channel. REM Channel recently conducted some research around this issue, and Renee is here to help shed some light on how employers can best tackle this issue. Welcome to the pod, Renee.
Thank you, Akona, so much for having me.
Renee, can we start at the beginning here? Can you start by explaining for us what exactly is quiet quitting and where does this phenomenon come from?
Well, you know, there's various terms, but it has been dubbed quiet quitting. And what it really refers to is the scenarios play out where employees put in no more effort into their jobs than absolutely necessary. So they do no more, no less than what is required of them in terms of their jobs. Now, whilst one would argue that that is the contractual agreement between employee and employer, you do want engaged employees to go the extra mile. So the term quiet quitting has also evolved, and it's even questioned whether there is a derogatory connotation associated with the word quitting, because it's not necessarily quitting. It's just doing the absolute minimum that is required from the employee.
And just before we get into the major findings that came out of the study, which is the salary and wage survey, which was done for March 2023, REM Channel spoke to a few people. Can you speak on the survey dynamics? What was the sample size looking like and the demographics of the people that you spoke to?
Okay, so this research is conducted annually and particularly in April, and then repeated in October of each year. So we've only introduced quiet quitting now in this publication that we've just done. Well, it feels like we've just done it. But most certainly the question was to employers to try and ascertain whether quiet quitting was a real South African phenomenon. And out of the responses that we received, and there were various questions to try and ascertain the intensity of the phenomenon and the reasons for it. But I think what was rather alarming from this research is that close to one third of the companies, and there were about 62 corporate South African companies across various industry sectors, indicated that they were unsure whether their employees were indeed at the point of quiet quitting. Now, if one measures productivity on a regular basis, one would have assumed that that number would be higher in terms of the understanding of where your workforce is.
What did the research found to be the key causes of employees to quietly quit their jobs, as it's been dubbed?
Okay, so on the one hand, there's the research, but on the other hand, there's also a recent white paper by WITS and the Medical Research Council that indicated that 25.7% of South Africans are most likely depressed, with more than a quarter of the respondents reporting moderate to severe symptoms of depression. So that really ties in with the results of the research. If you then look at what the employers indicated, they indicated that 49%, employees are no longer prepared to sacrifice their mental health. And that really then talks to the quiet quitting phenomenon, doing absolutely what is required so that you're not exposed to further stressful environments, which could potentially affect your well-being.
And what other findings came out of that then?
Well, there's quite a lot. So 36% of the employers indicated that the number of employees feeling burned out is increasing. That's very much in line with the mid-June statement that you made earlier. But I think this is a general phenomenon, you know, post-COVID, post-pandemic. These really major stresses on employees, both from a mental health perspective, well-being, as well as the fact that they are under financial strain given the current economic climate. And then 38% of those employers indicated that quiet quitting is more prevalent amongst certain generations. Unfortunately, we didn't unpack that further, but they did obviously then indicate that there is a differentiating factor depending on which generation you're dealing with. And I suppose it depends on really the life cycle and the employee life cycle that they are in at the company or their personal life cycle. And then, of course, employees also indicated that they are tired of being asked to do more without additional compensation. Now, if one unpacks that a little bit, the survey also deals with staff turnover, and the turnover rates are increasingly high, and resignations in particular are very high in the professional services environment. So that leaves the employees who remain behind with quite a lot of stress in picking up some of the slack, even if it is just for a period of time, in terms of their other colleagues leaving the organizations. So it's interesting to see that there's this conundrum between compensation and what is being asked of employees. And of course, there's always a component that looks at poor management, which can be blamed for quiet quitting.
Sure, and I think those are quite insightful insights that you're sharing there, Renee. But I'm wondering, if I'm an employer, most people don't really wear their hearts out on their sleeve, just to use a phrase there. So how does the employer then identify that, okay, my workforce is entering that quiet quitting phase, or they're doing the bare minimum phase? What signs should they be looking out for?
Well, I think traditionally we talk about employee engagement surveys, and that's really where the employer ensures that there is research done amongst the employees to ascertain the overall well-being of employees. So some of the great questions that you can ask is, you know, is this company a great company to work for, and is my contribution making a difference? Are they taking my development into account? Do I actually contribute to a bigger vision? And then questions like, the leaders of my organization demonstrate that people are important. But it starts with those very frank and honest conversations where employees are not threatened by any environment, and that they have a measure of psychological safety, and where they feel that they will obviously not be put in a position where they feel discriminated against if they voice an opinion regarding some of the practices in the organization or what is actually giving rise, personal circumstances, to the quiet quitting phenomenon.
Mm. You know, Renee, I'm really interested because we are really trying to focus on small businesses, and that's our main focus here on the pod. And we've always heard that small businesses struggle with resources and often they're running a tight ship, understaffed, and there are so many of these issues that might create this quiet quitting environment. What advice then do you have for small businesses that are cash strapped, that don't have the ability to invest in maybe mental health support or extra staff to support the current team? What advice do you have for them to kind of remedy the situation before it starts impacting too badly on productivity?
Yes, I think you raise a very valid question in terms of small and medium enterprises, because most certainly employees are required to multi-skill in those environments. But what we have found is that where there is a focus on the bigger employee value proposition, and where employers look at the health and wellness of employees by, for example, accommodating different schedules in a more, I would say, a more flexible environment, and also providing other elements that really may not cost a lot of money, but that will most certainly indicate that the employee is recognized for their effort. That goes a very long way in retaining and engaging employees. And it does not necessarily cost a lot of money. You know, things like kudos vouchers, grocery vouchers for employees of the month, etc. Some of the very little things that actually contribute to recognition. But at the same time, also looking at the development of those employees, because the career path in specifically smaller organizations is quite limited. You know, there's a ceiling. And how do you then expand their skills so that they can contribute to the overall growth of the organization, understanding that their development is a primary focus for the organization? It certainly helps with lower absenteeism and reduces turnover.
Yeah, so people feeling appreciated in the workplace and feeling like they're contributing to a greater impact could be a motivator enough to keep people enthusiastic about the work that they're doing.
Absolutely. You know, culture also plays a big role. In a small organization, there's more of a family culture. Where in a larger corporate, and that is not across the board, but many employees feel that they are just like a number in a very big organization. That personalized attention between manager and employee then certainly goes a long way to create a family culture, which employees will buy into, especially if they looked after from a recognition and development perspective.
Mm. And just another point there, Renee. So just walk with me here for a second. So for example, if a company does not have the ability, like you said, to give the raise per se or the financial benefit that some employees may be looking for, does it help to allow employees to work from home so that they don't have to worry about transport or fuel costs?
Absolutely. I think if you just look at the outcome of the survey, 66% of those employers indicated that employees are actually asking for that mobility and that flexibility. You must bear in mind that there's been a huge change, whether it's in a large corporate or a small company, post-COVID, where they were already working from home in many cases. And it does help with managing costs, particularly transport costs. If, of course, the environment is conducive to a working from home environment, not all industry sectors are suited to it. But most certainly that does help from a disposable cash perspective for employees and not spending large amounts of money on transport and other costs that may impact their personal financial situation.
Mm. And the generation question, I really want to touch on this because I think it's quite interesting. We've been seeing recently that your younger generations are not necessarily staying in the workforce for as long as maybe your boomers were or consider staying in a job for. Is there a difference in how your Gen Zs maybe are treating the workplace and how your boomers or older generations are treating the workplace? Are you finding that your older generation is more willing to kind of quiet quit and stay in the job because they have responsibilities and young people are quicker to just leave and find better opportunities elsewhere that are more satisfying perhaps?
Yeah, that is a bit of a conundrum, and one doesn't want to generalize in terms of the different generations. But that being said, if you're looking at the Gen Zs, they are about development. They are about growth. And they most certainly have goals that would probably be very different to a baby boomer who's close to retirement. So one needs to understand that that would be different, that they would, if they are in an environment where they're not being developed, where they're not being skilled, where they don't have a clear understanding of their potential career path, that they would then either quiet quit, but if their skills are in demand, they would simply look for the next opportunity. Whilst your baby boomer would probably quiet quit because simply I'm close to retirement and I'm not going to rock the boat right now. So yes, but I think that you must also understand that every employee's personal circumstances are different. And that is why it is not necessarily a good thing to generalize across the board. You have some baby boomers who have still got very appropriate skills to add to any organization and could do so on a contracting basis or any other environment in this gig economy where they are able to contribute quite significantly.
Mm. And just going to a close of our conversation, Renee, I'm interested. I mean, the job market in South Africa is quite competitive. A lot of people are unemployed, and I'm wondering. Yes, you spoke about whether or not this is becoming a huge issue in the South African context, the quiet quitting phenomenon. But I'm wondering, with a country that has such a high unemployment rate, can people employees afford to be doing the bare minimum at their jobs?
Well, I suppose it depends what you define as the bare minimum. The bare minimum is what I've contracted with the company and I'm not doing anything over and above. So when you talk about quiet quitting, in many cases, it's defined as doing just enough not to get fired. And I suppose it depends on the industry sector, the type of skill that you're looking at, and whether they actually have other opportunities out in the market. Now, as you rightly said, with high unemployment rates, whilst there are certainly job opportunities, you might have a significant number of candidates applying for the same position. And that means that it's not necessarily that easy to change positions, which will then result in that quiet quitting until such time as the opportunity of a lifetime comes along and the change is then made. But it also means that they are probably scouting for opportunities whilst quiet quitting. And that is quite a dangerous position for a company to be in if you don't address it appropriately.
And for the employee here listening now, and they are maybe confused of where they are at, because I think there might be an issue identifying whether you have quietly quit your job, or if you are feeling stagnant in your career. How do they decipher which one comes first? Is it stagnation and then quietly quitting, or do you quietly quit and then become stagnant? How do you identify that, and how do you get out of that rut as an employee?
Well, I think as an employee, you need to understand very clearly what your goals are, where you see your career going, what your growth is going to be. If you've identified a career growth path and you know exactly what those goals are, and you see that you are not necessarily achieving them in the organization for various reasons, whether it's lack of development, whether it is engagement overall, leadership issues. That is the time that you actually need to think, well, is it necessary to quiet quit or is it necessary for me to upskill myself and as quickly as possible change my role and find out whether I am still marketable in a job market? And the only way to do that is through personal development, but also very clearly understanding what your career path is. So the one can come before the other and vice versa. But I think every employee needs to understand, is this what I want in my life? Is this sufficient? Or is there something else that I want over the longer term? Or what are those goals? And how will I measure them? How will I measure success over my career and my whole talent and development path?
Renee Richter there from REM Channel explaining the growing quiet quitting phenomenon in South Africa and how employers can identify the signs and fix the problems before it progresses to the detriment of one's business. Thank you so much, Renee, for joining us and for your insights.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and follow Small Business Conversations, and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can tweet me at Machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.